Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I'm your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host. We've got the one and only Seth Vilo.
Oh my god, I'm spectacular!
And we've got Linian, who's definitely awake.
Yeah, definitely not offended that Seth got a cool thing and I'm just here.
We're both spectacular. That's the fun part.
Thank you, drunk Willy Wonka.
He said it plurally. No,
have you not seen the... I think I understand the reference you're making, Seth. I, too, have been scrolling too much on my phone.
I, too, have seen many TikToks. Okay, yes.
I, too, have seen many D&D TikToks.
the guy who is very clearly copying the Mad Hatter's voice pattern.
Yes, yes. There's a guy. This is a reference to a guy on TikTok. They do a live play D&D stream. I've never watched it, but I've seen a lot of shorts where this guy is just playing this insane clown,
and he does the Mad Hatter voice.
He does the Mad Hatter voice just like Seth. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I accidentally fell into that as I started.
Yeah. Oh. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I'm excited to be here once again, bringing this show to the ears of thousands, maybe? I don't know, of people? That's a good question.
Yee yee, more than four.
Unless something has radically changed, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. It could have radically changed. I purposely don't look at the numbers.
It's actually millions.
Maybe, oh.
Well, let's hope not.
I would hope
not.
I'm about to say some real stupid things today.
I love embarrassing myself in front of millions.
I don't know if I want to be on Nintendo's radar.
Nah.
But yeah, welcome to the show. Lots of things to talk about today, maybe. I don't know. I have not been doing much other than like building TCG decks all week.
Yep.
For post rotation, what's worse is like I don't even go to league anymore that often.
Wow.
So I just have it. I mean, I'm just going to force people to start playing with me on webcam or something, so I can justify the purchase of these cards and have a good time with it. Because I mean, I do like playing. It's so much different playing with the physical cards than playing on live.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's a different experience, and I like being able to do it. I did recently pick up, stupid purchase, but one that I am happy that I made. So like the Pokemon trading card game Classic came out, right? And you can buy it right now on Pokemon Center for, $400.
Yeah.
That's the MSRP. Wild. And you get, you know, it's like the cool game board and you get all like the classic TCG cards. But it turns out you can go onto eBay and you can buy everything but the cards for like $50.
That's what Shamu did. He's got the little roller thing.
Yeah, I did
it. Cool.
I did it too. And I really like it. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I will continue to own this and never throw it away.
Yeah.
I also got the deck boxes, which I think is pretty cool. I think the deck boxes are pretty cool. I didn't get the sleeves because I assumed they were just like the Pokemon's quality sleeves and they were going to be hot garbage anyway.
One thing that I've seen people do with that one is they'll get the regular sleeves that you want, the display sleeves. And you know, forgive me for not thinking of this, TCG people. I feel like I've been behind the times. But, I mean, you just get a clear outer card sleeve and put it over the design sleeve. They shuffle the same. It makes them a little thicker. But, like, I saw that for Lorcana stuff because theirs is garbage.
I've done this for... like, I have a bunch of the sleeves I got when I was in Japan last year.
Uh-huh.
And so I do that, but I found that I don't like it. I know this about myself. My hands are, my hands are smaller than, like, what people would typically have. So, like, I can shuffle a 60-card single sleeve deck, no problem. But, like, once you double sleeve it, it's just too big enough to, like, mash. And it's annoying.
Yeah. For me, it just throws off my muscle memory for now.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't like it, so I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
To be fair, the Pokemon Center sleeves actually aren't that bad to shuffle with. Like, I actually like the shuffle feel with them, with the Japanese ones. So just, if anybody cares, like, yeah, if you buy Japanese sleeves, I think they shuffle just fine.
Lorcana sleeves don't. Anyone out there is also a Lorcana person, never use their actual official sleeves.
Lorcana is exactly the game that would have gotten you sucked in, isn't it?
It's good. It's really good. It's a really good game, like, objectively.
Sure, Seth, that's why you're playing it.
It is.
It has nothing to do with the Mickey Mouse collectibles.
Look me dead in the eyes and say that if it had amazing gameplay and, like, random little dudes, you would be just as psyched. No, this we both true. Know Elsa dragged you in with her siren's call.
I know. I was at Disney World 2 weeks ago.
Like, I don't even know if it's, like, Elsa specifically. I think it's literally just the Disney Corporation has Seth.
Really, it's Smart Gaston that done did it.
What?
I love that one.
What are you talking about?
Smart Gaston. What? Let me find him.
Seth, you concern me.
There's this whole mechanic in there where the card is like an alternate version of the same character.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Gaston, yeah, sure. Intellectual powerhouse.
It's the
and
shiny.
It's got him in front of like a floating chalkboard.
It's the shiny.
Planning
I
out
understand.
The beast's entrance. And it's just, I mean, and that's the card. It's like, that's the name. It does a cool thing on entry that's different from other Gastons. It's great. It's such a fun way to do the mechanic.
So the idea of alternate versions of characters.
Think this is honestly much more like the comparison between Entei and Gouging Fire than a shiny.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Entei, but it's not. It's an alternate universe Entei.
I hope you know I'm going to hold this over you for the rest of your life, right?
I am prepared for this. I walked in knowing this. This is fine. Don't worry about
it. It's fine. I worry about you a little bit and your love for the Disney Corporation, but that's a different story.
I know. I've got to compartmentalize things.
Yeah,
cognitive
you do.
Dissonance is a wonderful thing.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? But yeah. Actually, speaking of Lorcana, I'm going to go to Gen Con this year. I'm actually pretty hyped.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Gen Con.
Oh, man.
Where they released Lorcana last year.
Yeah. It's a fun game. I promise.
I'm not going to do anything with Lorcana while I'm there. That is not my...
If you get a promo though that you want to get rid of, I know a guy.
Do you?
Yeah,
I'll mail it to Linian. That's fine. No, I'm gonna go. It's gonna be a good time. It's mostly for like, mostly for like tabletop stuff more than anything, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I mentioned this to you. Like, I was looking at the events last year that they had, and they had like a base set Pokemon TCG tournament, and I'm like, oh man. If that shows up on the event list again, I'm probably going to go do that. And I had to decide if I'm going to go play like Lickitung Stun or something else, you know, like Rain Dance or something.
Was it Haymaker?
Haymaker was that was the original one, but I think Lickitung Stun might actually be better.
Yeah.
It turns out that Haymaker was really popular because, it was like early Pokemon TCG where there weren't a ton of players. So.
Oh.
I don't think the format ever got quote unquote solved.
Yep.
That makes sense.
So I think there's actually a lot of room for innovation in terms of like old school tournaments. If you play OG Pokemon TCG. So I'm going to go do it. If it's there, I'm going to sign up for it and I will go acquire the cards necessary.
That works.
It'll end up being like a stupid expensive deck for no reason. That
I was about to say, do you have
once.
To bring your own stuff or
yeah, you
just...
do. No, you have to bring your own cards.
Oh, wow.
Like you have to bring your own deck.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to bring your own deck. Yeah, I plan on doing that if it happens again. I'm going to go to Gen Con and just go be the one guy who probably knows more about it than anybody else accidentally. And just go to town. But yeah, I don't know. What have you guys been up to? Anything fun? Anything fun, interesting?
Yeah, everyone asks me this, and then everything I do in my very happy, you know, like just gone, erased from the brain.
I've forgotten everything that I've done.
Ever, yeah. That makes sense.
I did some cool work stuff this week, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, I'm interested, but probably off air.
yeah. I have been preparing for Orlando, though. And
When is Orlando?
It's next weekend, so a week from today.
Oh, boy. Who can't wait for EUIC to just be done?
I've been watching. It's been kind of interesting seeing people kind of flop and flounder with post-rotation differences. And Zard is, of course, everywhere because it's basically lost nothing to rotation, so people did it because it's the most familiar feeling deck.
It's just easy right now. Like, I don't think it lost anything, honestly. Like, I can't think of anything. Maybe, like, a couple level balls, you know?
Yeah, it didn't lose anything. It just had to change things. Like, VIP becomes Buddy Poffin, and that's it.
Which is, like, it's honestly an improvement. I'm not going to lie.
I like it better. It makes their early game a little weird because you can't grab Rotom off the cuff. But anyway, I've been prepping for Orlando. I'm not really going for points. Orlando's going to be my last one for this season just for, like, I don't need to be going to these. I need to buy a new car within the next month because mine's had a couple things that have made it start to really crap out.
We've been talking about this for years.
I know, but now a mechanic made that decision for me and broke my car when I took it in. And
a mechanic made the decision for me.
Yeah, like I got it back from them inspecting it for a long road trip and broke.
Oh,
like womp it womp. Died on me in a car wash. And I was like, hello, what did you do to my car? Why is it doing this now? So
why can't it not leave the car wash?
Yeah. So I get to, that is something that now has to happen.
Yeah,
soon.
I imagine.
So bummer.
Bummer.
But yeah, Orlando's going to be my last one. I'm not the one driving, so.
No, that's good.
I'm carpooling with a friend.
Fun, really? I'm surprised.
I know, it's crazy.
Based on this news, I am shocked.
Yeah, I am bringing a quote-unquote meme deck that I've been testing with. I'm hyped. It's Tinkaton with Dedunsparce, and it's really funny.
Oh, that's pretty standard, I feel like, nowadays.
The best thing to do, you know, when you're not sure about a meme brew is to tell everyone about it on a podcast weeks before the event.
There are about 3,000 masters at this regional.
Dude, this thing's
giant.
If
I face someone who listens to the show, that's fine. They can know what I'm going to play.
To be fair, there was that one time in Fort Wayne last year where, like, there was just that random guy, you know, who was just like, hey, Thatch, I thought you played the VGC. And I was just like, this is a weird conversation to be having.
Is this a weird conversation, clearly you haven't been listening to the podcast recently.
Yeah, right. Right.
What a way to advertise you've been ignoring us for 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, to be fair, the VGC format right now is a lot of fun too. I'm sure it'll be awful once we get to like one legendary, but
yeah, which is what's happening end of April.
Yeah, like, it happens in May.
May it starts over. It's the Reg F where you have one
regulation
restricted
F,
legend.
One restricted gets in. My favorite thing was the picture that they used to promote it, like included Ogre Pod.
Yeah, right, which was already in there.
It's already in there. What? It's already allowed because it's not considered it's not considered a box legend or restricted.
No.
That was really weird.
But it'll club you just the same.
Yep.
It would have been the equivalent of like putting Urshifu on there like 3 years ago.
Exactly. Oh well.
It's wild to me though that that's already happening. Those are like my least favorite formats when we start getting restricteds involved.
Yeah. Everything's just Maraidon food.
It's fine. We only have to do this for
Oh, no.
Yeah, who knows? Like, it depends on what the actual release date for
AZ or ZA.
Plazaw is.
Plazaw. Pokemon Pizza.
And Pokemon Plazaw will change the game, right? So, it depends on the release date. Don't know what it is. It's fine.
We don't.
It's fine.
And if anyone says they do, they're lying.
Yeah, right. All right, well, yeah, on that note, I think we've gone on long enough. Some angry person will fill out the survey now next year and tell us that the intro is too long.
They're right this time.
Nah.
And we're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to the news.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. First up, For EUIC, Pokemon is now calling starters instead of first partner Pokemon. Yes, the news is that scarce. The world's date is going to be announced by the time this show comes out, and we will not edit it in.
Hopefully.
No, they announced that it was part of the announcements.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay, yeah, it's announced that they're going to announce the world's date.
About time. My gosh.
I can't believe they haven't done it. Like, why? What's the difference?
Right? Like, we know all sorts of things that are way after that. Why did they it take so
announce,
long?
They used to announce the dates a year in advance. You know this? Like, they would end One Worlds and be like, yeah, it's going to be here on this date.
We know where, at least, but, like, no one's been able to order flights or hotels or anything.
Unless you want to live in Hawaii for the month of August, you probably couldn't do that.
It's a little expensive.
Unless you want to live in Honolulu, you probably aren't doing that anytime soon. But, yeah, we'll record that next week, probably. That'll be a news event because I'm sure there will be no other news events to talk about.
Yeah.
Moving on, Seth, you should tell us some more things about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
I sure can. The latest 7-star raid is for Psychic type Meganium, which will rerun next weekend as well. It starts the battle with dual screens and spams Curse with physical Grass, Psychic, or Fighting coverage. So that sounds horrible. And apparently one strategy you can do is do a skill swap contrary Malamar that can make things a little bit easier. Don't do it with Skeledirge as well with Unaware. So that's apparently something that you can do. Hooray.
Hooray.
And other Scarlet Violet news is that we've got our next set for VGC regulation rules. That is Regulation G. It runs May through August, so it should be what the world's format is fought in, so for people keeping track. And the difference is that this allows for, as we mentioned earlier, one restricted Pokemon. So a Miraidon, a Calyrex Shadow Rider, the others.
The others.
So
there are others?
Not really.
I think this meta is slightly different in that we actually, like, there are other Pokemon that will work.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. I was looking at the tier lists about it, but I forget off the top of my head. Mostly because I was just going to wait. The regulation E's not over yet, so I don't care. You know,
I for one, am excited for Coridon Flutter main cores and everything else that triggers all the Paradox abilities. That'll be fun.
I think Sun is just better in general. I don't know if Cryon's a better choice than Groudon, in all honesty.
Groudon.
What I was speculating last week on the show is I think there's going to be like a weird triangle because Terra exists, so it's going to be hard to call it a triangle between Maridon, Groudon, and Kyogre. Like, I think Groudon and Kyogre are just that good.
That's true.
I think
at least Maridon turns off Spore because of Electrodeen.
Yeah, I think
we don't have Primal Reversion anymore.
No, we don't have Primal Reversion, but
they still keep
last
their moves,
gen,
though, so that's good.
Yeah.
In last gen, Kyogre was still a menace.
It is.
And I think Groudon's just better than Coridon as a Sunsetter. Like, it's just a better typing.
Yeah. But we'll see. That's the rules. Dem's the rules. Mm-hmm. We'll see how people adapt to it. You got till August.
Yay. All right. Last news is Pokemon Go. That's you, Linian. You get to do Pokemon Go today.
It goes from April 12th to 19th. It's a bug if there are higher shiny odds for Burmy and Combee. So two possibilities for a Pokemon's gender to disappoint you as you can't evolve into the thing that you want. It also adds Mega Heracross to the game. So, you know, use your high attack bug boy. It'll have raid days on the 13th.
I'm impressed we still have Megas left to release in Pokemon Go.
Right.
It's all right. If they drag it out, they might get a few new ones next year.
There you go.
I'm actually really impressed that it's still taken this long. But that's most of the news this week. We're going to go ahead and jump into Puckle's Pokey Prediction. With Regulation G being announced. Oh, we're in Regulation F. It's Regulation G. Okay, my bad. With Regulation G being announced, do you think Terrapagos will be among the top 5 restricted Pokemon in either singles or doubles? I think it's singles.
No.
I think in singles it's possible.
I think it's possible in either. I haven't really tinkered with the format rules too much, but it's just an opportunity cost thing. It's great and it's powerful and it's amazing, but it's your one slot above
Miraidon. I don't think it's better than
Miraidon
in singles, and I don't think it's better than... I think there are at least 3 Pokemon better than in singles, and I know there are at least 3 Pokemon.
Yeah.
No.
It just may be weird enough.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be in doubles. Like, doubles, I think You're gonna see the three that I said for sure. And then you'll probably see somebody try to make Caridon work. Mm-hmm. And let me think. I'm trying to think because like Rain's just always good. And I think Zacian. I think they'll just try to make Zacian work again.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make Zacian.
Zacian's got nerfed like pretty big time. So
really big time.
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna matter. So we'll see. We'll see. Well, yeah, those are my predictions. Those are my predictions. But other than that, I don't think anything else is going to happen. But yeah.
Yeah.
What a short news segment this week. Turns out this is probably going to be the new norm.
Yep.
We're in that period. Between
stuff.
Well, to be fair, we haven't had anything like this since like 2014 or 2015. Like there was a year where like we had nothing.
Yeah.
I remember that year very blatantly because people are just like, I'm surprised you're still doing this show. And I'm like, me too. and... Which is what I asked.
Keep talking like that, we may not.
but yeah, I mean, there's stuff to talk about. I like talking, so let's do it. But yeah, with that said, guys, we're going to jump on into Puckle's Pokey Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to the Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to jump right on into it. Our first question is going to come to you guys from Merklepox. Historically, the move Octazooka was exclusive to the Horsea and Remoraid lines before a Generation 5 event gave it to this single-stage Generation 3 Pokemon. Who's that Pokemon?
Oh, single stage Gen 3 Octazooka.
So let me think about what a Gen 3 single stage Pokemon there are, because like you're not giving that to Zangoose.
Single stage meaning there's only one.
Yeah, it doesn't evolve.
Okay, got it.
This TCG does exclude brain. Like this does exclude it would exclude things with it does include things that would get Mega Evolutions too. Like I wouldn't count those out, but yes. Just to avoid any confusion.
I wasn't going
like pure actual evolution. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm single stage Gen 3. I'm assuming it's a water. What's vaguely octopus like or weapon like in Gen 3?
He did say the whole thing about like it can mega evolve, and I feel like that's a hint.
or is maybe it a red he's herring?
Just, or is it a red or is it an anti hint? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, weird... It's not Tropius.
So there's Mawile, there's Sableye, there's Zangoose, there's Seviper. They're all of the legends.
Yeah.
There's not doing Octazooka Kyogre.
No. No, that wouldn't make sense.
Anything else?
I'm still trying to think. There's, like, the Regis. It wouldn't be them. They don't get moves. It's not one of the Latias, is it? No.
Latias with Octazooka.
Hey, it gets weird stuff.
I'm going to need an answer.
I can't think of as much of
you
a Gen 3 fanboy as I am.
Meme? I don't have an answer.
I think Latias for the meme, because that there's like a 5% chance that's correct, but I can't think of anything else
Seth,
at the moment.
Would you rather get it wrong on Latias, or would you rather get it wrong on Sableye?
Latias to not besmirch Sableye's honor.
Okay. Latias it is.
Latias
is unfortunately incorrect. The correct correct answer is Sableye. there was an event.
You're joking. What's the answer?
The event was in Pokemon Centers in Japan to commemorate the 9-year run of a show called Pokemon Smash, which was. A Japanese TV show that ran from 2010 to 2013. That was like the Pokemon the Pokemon Sunday show that we used to like get news drop stuff from.
Yeah.
This was like the successor to that. That was called Pokemon Smash, or the predecessor, I should say. And it was, So they gave out a, there was a Sableye that would show up and they gave it Octazooka.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. This exists.
You're not kidding?
This exists. It's called Chief what? Golgo Sableye. Yeah, yeah. It's real.
So everyone on the Discord, please tag Seth and what? Shame him for missing a trivia question about Sableye.
You got, if you would have gone for the meme, which what? I was kind of hoping you would, you, oh, you would have no. gotten it.
Oh, oh no. Well, shoot. Okay, well, I learned something. Oh, well.
You're over one. Your next
psychic
question,
damage inflicted.
Your next question comes from Togenic, and they want to know, which type had no new moves introduced in Generation 6? Which type had no new moves introduced in Generation 6?
Okay, so it's not fairy.
I think you may be right.
I've got a feeling. Goodness, these ones are hard. Ice is a good one. Like, there's ice, dragon, ghost that immediately jump out as potentials.
Dragon, definitely not.
Yeah, dragon's weird in the later gens.
Something got,
yeah.
I think is that the generation they introduced Dual Chop? No, that was Gen 5.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Because it was Axews.
No, Ghost had Trick or Treat, so it's definitely not Ghost.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And by extension, grass is out.
I can think of... I genuinely cannot think of a single ice move that would have been added.
Yeah. What did Ice Gym Leader Guy give you? Frost. Was that a new one or an old one?
He gave you Frost Breath.
Okay. Which is Gen 5.
Which I think existed in earlier generations, but it just wasn't a TM.
Yeah.
I also don't know if he gave you Frost Breath.
That's true. It might have just been Ice Beam, for all we know. He was like the last gym leader, I think.
And also, like, not every gym leader gave out new moves that get Jan, because you got Grass Knot for beating Ramos.
Who?
I don't know. I just felt compelled to say that.
A spirit took you over and just...
Yep.
I mean, I'm good with Ice. I think that's a really good guess. YOLO.
Ice.
Let's go. Ice.
Ice is unfortunately incorrect. There was only
it's
one...
It's actually Sableye.
It's actually Dragon.
Oh, God.
It's actually Dragon.
I don't feel too bad about this one, though.
I just remembered what got added.
Freeze dry. Yeah, freeze dry got added in Generation 6. Yeah, that's the only ice move, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the only ice move.
Gen 6 didn't add a whole lot.
Yeah, right?
Which is kind of why it was good.
Yeah, Generation 6 actually added very few moves. Like, outside of... they added, like, a couple, like two terrain moves and a bunch of fairy-type moves, and that was it.
And wasn't it,
you
like,
know, I'm realizing
60
all
or 70
the moves
Pokemon?
That I thought were added in Gen 6 there were added in Gen 7, because it was all this... I was like, yeah, there's the signature move that Zygarde gets. That's only in Sun and Moon,
oof.
Baby.
Yeah, most moves didn't get, like, Power Up Punch, which is just gone now, and a bunch of signature moves for a bunch of Pokemon. That's about it.
Yeah. Flying Press, which is weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys are 0 for 2, but let's recover here with your with your Pokedex entry question.
I swear to God, if it's Sableye.
I don't have a Sableye one. I will give you that hint that it's not Sableye. This one is from Elite Four Brandt. He wants to know... The Pokedex entry from Pokemon Sword reads, "It communicates with others telepathically. Its body is encapsulated in liquid, but if it takes a heavy blow, the liquid will leak out. Who's that Pokemon?"
Okay, what? Which one of the Reuniclus line is this?
Duosion, split the difference?
I think it's Solosis, because
sure.
Duosion
so
talks about how it's
get
got...
the line, so...
Yeah.
Solosis.
I'm going to go Solosis.
Solosis is correct. Got on the first one there, so that's 2 points.
Hey, hooray. Reuniclus is on my chart, so...
The second entry is going to be from Pokemon Shield, and it reads, "Many say that the special liquid covering this Pokemon's body would allow it to survive in the vacuum of space."
Yep, you're wrong. That's referencing the whole water bear thing that it's based on. But yeah, Reuniclus's are all about it crushing rocks.
All right, so we have your multi-answer question. I'm going to give you a choice between the topic of the two questions that Liger has chosen for me today.
Oh, no.
One of them is about priority moves, and the other one is about Vivillon.
Okay.
Priority moves.
priority moves, yeah.
Oh, right. This one is from Gus. Trick Room is the move with the lowest priority in the game, minus 7, meaning it will always go last. What are the 5 moves that have a priority of minus 6? And I will give you 1 point for 2, 2 points for 4, and 3 points for all 5.
Okay.
It's
counter and mirror code, I think.
No, that so the bottom is Trick Room, because Trick Room causes all sorts of speed problems, so it always goes last.
Yeah.
Counter and mirror code, I think, are like minus 1. But the minus 6 bracket is anything that basically all they're trying to minimize the amount of interaction that it has with speed priority.
Yeah, so would that be like Whirlwind, Roar, things like that?
So Whirlwind, Roar, Dragon Tail, Circle Throw.
Are you locking those all in? You get 3 strikes.
Yes.
Those are all correct. That's 4 of them. There's one more.
I said 4.
Oh, there's 5. There's 5. My bad. There's one more. You said 4.
One more move?
Yeah, one more move, right? Oh, wait, no. No, wait. Did I say there were 4? No, there's 5. There's 5, yeah. You said Circle Throw, Dragon Tail, Roar, Whirlwind, and there's one more.
And yep. So we're in the Pokemon switching speed tier.
Yeah.
Teleport
is the 5th, yeah. That is all of them.
Plus anything in the minus 5 speed bracket used by a Sableye with stall, just saying.
Right. Well, that is 3 points. That's 5 for 4. You guys are getting back up. All right, your final question. Both of these are from Liger today. So I'm going to ask this question because I feel like the people here are uniquely qualified to answer it. Pokemon with the Hustle ability has the highest attack stat?
Hustler. Is it going to be Flapple?
It's probably Flapple, because Flapple is better than Dracozolt.
Yeah, I think Flapple had, because of Hustle specifically, the highest powered dragon moves that are possible for a while. What's its base attack stat? Like 90, 100?
115?
Oh, yeah. For attack, that's right.
The only thing I can think of that's also anywhere near it would be Hisuian Lilligan.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Durant as well is just on the list
Durant's
of things that are possible. Yeah.
Durant is 109. I do not know the speed, the attack stat of Hisuian Lilligan offhand.
I don't either. I feel like it's 110. But I could be very wrong, because I feel like it's close to Lilligant, like, baseline. I don't think it's crazy, or else it would have been used more. I'm still liking Flapple.
I still think Flapple's probably the best at, like, 115, so.
Yeah.
Flapple,
lock in.
Flapple is correct. Flapple has a
My
base.
My beautiful son!
Flapple has a base 110, and Liger was kind enough to give us a calculation to go along with this. A max attack choice band, max attack adamant choice band Flapple with outrage versus a max HP max defense bold Dondozo has a guaranteed 2-hit KO after leftovers recovery.
Wow. Yeah, it's terrifyingly powerful if it hits.
Yeah. In second place is Durant with 109. In third place is Hisuian Lilligant with 105, and in fourth actually is Dracozolt with 100.
Yeah, oh yeah, my baby.
So everybody's here. Yeah, that gives you guys 6 points on the day, though. So I'm going to go ahead and update that in the trivia score.
I love me my Apple-y babies. I just got Hydrapple in PTU. It's going to be terrifying.
We could have used the hint there too. I'm just really didn't get all the points.
Oh
so.
Yeah,
yeah.
We don't need those stinking hints.
You need it. Oh, it's fine. That's fine. You could have used the hint on one of the two you missed too.
Oof.
In first place, we have Linian with 29. In second place, we have Sigma with 27. Tied for third, we have Claude9 and Seth Vila with 22.
Yeet.
In sixth, we've got Whimsicott with 15. And tied for seventh, we have Sublime and Shark with 14. And Dr. Shamu is in ninth with 8. With that said, though, guys, we are going to kick it on over to our topic. If you want more PokeQuiz, tune in next week. But until then, topic time. We're here with another iTunes review, this one from LittleDog05. Great podcast for everything Pokemon related. I found this podcast in early 2023 when I first discovered Pokemon and was instantly hooked. I had tried many other pods, but none of them quite hit like this one. I love all the top 5 episodes, and the quiz segment is an amazing twist on Pokemon trivia. Overall, one of the greats as far as podcasts go. Well, thank you for that, Little Doggo. And if you too would like to leave us a review anywhere you listen to the show, we'd appreciate it. But until then, guys, we're going to get on over to the topic. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right. With that said, welcome to the topic. We are here and ready to go. Today, we're doing a top five episode. For those of you new to the show, a top five episode is where we talk some topic in the Pokemon franchise, and we decide to make a list of the top five and bottom five things in that category. It all started with the Pokemon types. We've done all of those, though we haven't done some of them since Gen 9 came out, so maybe it's time to revisit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We're not doing that today, folks.
Ha ha.
Today, we're actually doing top five, bottom five Pokemon regions, which is actually, it's going to be a lot of fun, actually. I'm very happy for it.
It's a weird one for sure.
So what we do is we go around and...
It didn't have to be, but we made it one.
Yeah, we did. We made it weird. You have to go ahead and you have to, each of us is going to nominate a top and a bottom contender. We're going to discuss whether or not we believe it needs to be on that list. And at the end, we'll see how we feel and whether or not it makes the cut. We're going to get started. I'm going to make a lot of people upset right away. I'd like to nominate for the bottom first, and I want to nominate Kanto.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it was fine for its time. But I think with the evolution of Pokemon regions, in terms of a main series game, it's just not it.
It's okay. When they did the major glow up in Let's Go, the only good thing you can talk about that game is the art style, and I will die on that hill. But
you are correct, actually. You actually are correct. Continue. I think it's a cumulative fever dream.
Like, it's so much just the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the whole region's just the same. When you were in between the segments, Seth and I were talking about how they go, oh man, what do we do with all the ice types? Let's just shove them all in this really cold cave.
We forgot to make somewhere cold. Cave.
They're all right here.
They're all right here. Yeah. It's all just like grasslands. And I think for like foundational Pokemon, that was what you needed. You needed something a little vanilla. But I don't think it's nearly as exciting as like the other regions in the Pokemon universe.
Yeah, I mean, Johto, I would say, has similar issues, but they at least thought of a few different kinds of environments. Like, they had a massive lakefront. They had, the Whirl Islands. They had set pieces beyond just...
City.
Cave.
City, cave.
City, cave, grass? City, cave, grass.
City, cave, grass, road.
Everything is a walk path in Kanto. Every single thing is a walk path.
So that does kind of make sense based on what Kanto's based on, to be fair, like for the record, because it is just Tokyo. Like, that is what Kanto is. It's just Tokyo.
Yeah, I just...
But I think it's boring. I do think it's, like, in terms of, like, regions to revisit, I think that's the most boring one.
It's telling one of the most memorable locations is just literally a power plant.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Lots of caves, though. Lots of caves. At least they didn't name
it. Lots of caves.
At least they didn't name them Galar Mine 1 and then Galar Mine 2.
Yeah.
We'll get there later, I guess, maybe. Yeah, so I think we can all agree Kanto's in the bottom.
I agree with that. It's like it was the beginning Pokemon game. It's got to start somewhere. So, I mean, of course.
It's got to start somewhere. But I think in terms of just like interesting regions, it's just not there. I don't want to go back to Kanto because I'm like, oh man, I kind of want to see them glow up, you know, this part of the region.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to go back to Kanto, it's because you want to go back to like those feel good feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's because you want to go back to being 10.
I absolutely agree with that.
So
go ahead, Lydian.
I was going to say one last super fast thing is Kanto to me screams as a place where the environments came third. Because gameplay and making sure that that felt cool and there was stuff to do came first. Came second was interconnectability, making sure that the multiplayer trading and battling was good. And then third came region design, plot, all of that. It was just not prioritized, which is fine. That was probably correct. But now
they made the correct move.
With hindsight, we don't need to like it.
No. I think it's one of those things where, like, Pokemon is one of those things where, as time moves on, we're just like, oh man, this thing, the old thing isn't great because the new thing is just building on it and becoming better and better and better. And Kanto is that foundation, right? Like, I think if you stripped a Pokemon game and its region down to its bare bones, you would get Kanto.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just, nothing's been festooned. Nothing has been added to. It's just boring, right? Like, in terms of a main series Pokemon game region.
Before you get in the email and say, but Lavender Town wasn't scary. You were 10 and it was the internet that did the rest.
Oh my gosh. The Lavender Town Syndrome creepypasta. I miss the old internet. The new internet is not nearly as fun as the old internet.
So now that we've added one thing to the list in 5 minutes of talking about Kanto.
To be fair, this was going to be the one that was going to be the longest, probably. To be completely fair.
We have to justify it really well.
Yeah, I'm not saying we were wrong. I'm saying I'm ready to move to your actual top pick.
Yeah, my top pick. I think this one's a little out there because I want you to tell me no if it's okay. But I think Seth might potentially agree with me. This region we never got to actually go to, but it's something that's referenced a lot in the Pokemon trading card game.
No.
It's called Hoenn.
Yes.
I'm not signing off on this.
Oh, but it's so cool. It's where, like, all the Delta species come from.
It's cool conceptually, but no.
It's so cool.
It's Galapagos Islands.
What do you know about it other than Pokemon are weird types?
That's true.
They have scientists that make Pokemon weird types, too.
Yeah. Ah.
Hey, there we go.
No.
Yeah, I'm mixed on it. I think it's cool in concept, but I wish it was just more fleshed out.
I think so. I agree.
You don't even have, like, landscapes. No.
You see like three of them on some of the carts.
On some of the carts, there's like some. Yeah.
There's a beach there. You can tell that.
I know more about just looking at card art, the plate of Molgrotha, where we have never been, than I know about Hoenn. And I've seen all of the Delta cards.
Well, okay then. And that's why we're not doing it. Moving on then. I don't care who goes next.
Linian, go ahead.
Sure. I'd like to nominate an actual, before we get into the weird weeds, because I do have a lot of thoughts, I would like to pitch my favorite region for Thatch to shoot down, which is Alola. Because the one caveat is that, like, yes, some of the isolation can be a little, like, the island compartmentalization is there.
Oh, I have no problem with Alola. I have a problem with Galar, but that's different. Like, Alola is fine. It's happy good times because you feel like you're in Hawaii, and it was the first time it happened, and so I wasn't offended by it.
And it could have been all tropical, and that would have been, I guess, a step up from Kanto just by being more colorful, but there's a ton of variation. There is not area in that game that looks like another.
No, I actually really like Alola. My only complaints is, like, it takes too long to evolve Crabrawler.
And that's why they made it an ice stone in all of the later games, is they went, wait, this maybe this was not a good idea.
I think, like, in Gen 8, somebody said, you know, location-based evolutions are dumb. And somebody else went, you're right. And they just retconned everything.
And someone else went, unfortunately, I did just code Galarian Yamask.
Yeah, right.
We did just make Rudigris, so have fun with that one now.
I think it's what it was, is the guy would only let them get rid of location-based evolution if he made the worst one possible.
Right.
As a swan song.
Honestly, yeah.
Malicious compliance.
But, again, just to kind of go circle back, Alola's great. There's so much variety in all of the landscapes. The narrative, like, the cultural stuff that they've chosen, where they're like, yeah, this is the trial, and how it's set out.
Yeah.
It looks really, really clean. It looks really lived in. One of my favorite parts being there are staff members for the league everywhere, because this is not like a Pokemon Battle League. This is just like something kids are doing, presumably all the time, all summer. So they're just, you know, adults making sure the kids don't die.
It feels like the equivalent of selling Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I like it. I like that idea.
I'm not against Alola. I'm not against Alola in the top.
All right, let's go. I think that's a top.
I agree with that. Do you have a bottom?
All right, now for a bottom region. I'm gonna say it.
I can think of so many. But continue.
But I'm gonna pick a real war path here. Something that everyone is going to defend. I don't think that Caramontia Island in Pokemon Duel is anything to write home about.
Hold on now.
To be fair, I miss Pokemon Duel. I think Pokemon Duel was fun-ish.
It was fun, and I got way too into it when it came out.
You know what's worse is like Pokemon Duel was 1000% just the Pokemon trading figure game that they discontinued like years before they released Pokemon Duel. Like, it's literally the Pokemon trading card game. It is the dungeon dice monsters of Pokemon.
No, the actual thing I wanted to dunk on there was not Karata Island, because I don't know enough about it to dunk on it.
We know more about Hoenn, okay?
The actual objection that I'm going to have is, it's an easy little golf shot, but what's going on in Galar?
Okay, no, I think this is so easy. I think Galar was just like... I think it's a terrible region for multiple reasons. One, like Alola, at least the isolation and like the island to island thing made sense because it was literally islands. But like, if you look at Galar, the region design is such that like there's just like three sets of towns.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. I didn't like it. It did not feel connected.
It has some variety, but it also has like this massive area that you're going through repeatedly in the wild area. Good idea. That is basically all just rolling hills.
Yeah.
Except for like one little dry patch in the center.
They also have Galar Mine number 1 and Galar Mine number 2.
That's true.
Which honestly is memed on. I think it might have been okay, because they're very different mines. One's like starting to be reclaimed and filling with water, and one is like an active working mine. Those are two fine places. But they're also the closest thing that we get to, like, a proper cave or dungeon in the game. And that's sad.
I think it also...
Maybe Glimwood Tangle.
I think it also suffered a lot. Galar specifically, I think, suffered a lot from the transition to a real console from the 3DS. I think it's one of those things that just suffered from transition. I mean, we see this a lot in Pokemon, where, like, the first thing that did a thing wasn't done very well. Like, if you think about X and Y, which I think are amazing games, but you think about, like, the Pokemon models, because it's the first 3D game.
Yeah, they're all just...
A lot of those are weird, and we
A lot of them are stance weird, you know?
We suffered with, like, the Sky Battle models for the next decade. It wasn't until Gen 9 that, like, they fixed them. So I think that it's just, like, it just suffers from that, and I don't think they executed well when they were transitioning to 3D. I think it would have worked well as a 3DS game, and that's probably what it started out as.
No, it definitely started on the Switch. I think what happened is it took a lot more than they expected to get the wild area up and running, because they clearly wanted it to be more than it was.
Yeah, I actually wonder if the wild area was thought of later in development as well. Just based on like the fact that the trains can take you from area to area instead of running you through the wild area.
I know, to me that just says that they realized it was really boring to navigate, but also, like, even in Gen 7, you could take the ferries between islands, but by the time that you unlock the ability to use the ferry, you already have fly in Ultra.
Well, you still had to use the ferry to get to new places first.
The only time is between Mele Mele and Akala. Because every other time you're escorted by NPCs from like different places, because you're not necessarily going there next. So like some of it is just that. And I'm sure they saw how trains are a big part in UK transportation. They wanted to make that relevant, but
I think it just fell really flat. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Fair.
And the games didn't do anything to help me. They did nothing.
The one thing I'll say is that Ballonlay, the city in the trees with all the mushrooms and everything.
That's your favorite. Yes, continue.
Is absolutely 10 out of 10 god tier, even though it was very small. But, like, yeah, I agree with you. I just wanted to...
It's a great set piece in a setting that needed, like, 9 more.
Exactly. Exactly. Ballonlay is gorgeous.
I think they really, like, showed us what it could have been, which makes it both better and worse when they did the DLC with, like, Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra, which were both done, I think, incredibly well.
But hey, the 7 people who live in Ballonlay have it.
Yeah, like, Ballonlay is great, but while it doesn't necessarily fit to your aesthetic, I can think of quite literally a dozen different striking biome places all over, say, Alola, and that was the game before this one.
Exactly. Even...
I agree. No, I agree with you, Lillian. You're absolutely correct.
Altar of the Sun. That's just all of the different groves with the Oricorio on them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, to move things along, we're gonna go to you, Seth.
So I'm gonna nominate a top first, and I'm gonna go ahead and throw Paldea out there as a top in my opinion, because it seems like it's...
I think that's perfectly fine. I think it's kind of what we hoped from, like, the wild area. I mean, they did kind of show it to us to some extent in, like, the Crown Tundra. So I'm actually really okay with that. I think it's great.
Yeah, and it's...
There are a few areas I think are too big for their own good, but that's about it.
That's fair. I feel like it's cohesive enough for as small of a map as they typically have to have for, like, a Pokemon game. Nowhere feels like, okay, we needed a sand biome, and it's plugged in here like a Lego, and...
I truly appreciate open world games nowadays, because, this was close enough to open world.
Yeah.
It was open world.
I appreciate open world games where I can get lost, like, the first couple days that I play it. I was capable of doing that, but I also like being able to get my bearings after those couple of days. If I'm still lost, Grand Theft Auto, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
I agree with you there. And, you know, it took a little bit, but you kind of have a general idea. Oh, yeah, okay, I need to go right here, up here, da-da-da-da-da-da. But Paldea feels like a very well-put-together region.
I think it's done pretty well.
Yeah, there are a couple very forgettable areas, and it's mostly the hill transition zones between major landmarks, where it's like, wait, where am I? And they tried to do some stuff with, like, some really cliff...
Well, there's a couple cities... The one town that's really bad in Paldea, in my opinion, is the one that solely exists for you to exchange items for the armory / cellular ledge armor.
Yeah.
Also, give me ghoul coins.
Yeah, there's, like, nothing else in that town, though. Like, there's nothing else.
Yeah, the thing is, people used to complain... Well, not used to. People do. People complain that, like, oh, there's no side towns in games anymore. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
They need something. It fills out the space, I guess.
Yeah, I just wish there was, like, something else of, like, interest there. Like, they could have just, like, made a fake landmark for me to stare at. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paldea is let down slightly by the textures being, but it's still cool. Like, I enjoy it.
Well, Seth, do you have a bottom nominee as well?
I sure do, because I was talking about how Paldea feels cohesive and feels like an actual region with, you know, things that fit together smoothly. Bottom 5... which is very much, we need desert, insert desert. We need mountain, insert mountain. We need cool bridges, insert cool bridges. It's Unova.
I was waiting for this, actually. Like, as soon as you're just like, insert desert, I'm like, oh, this is Unova.
Everything, like, looking at the map now, everything looks like, okay, and Lego piece for mountain, click. Lego piece for cool pond.
I think that it was, like, part of the... idea, if that makes sense as well, for that region. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think that's what they were going for.
We need 2 islands. Literally 2 perfect circle islands with things on them. Here they are. Click, click. And most of the area is not traversable. Like, most of it is...
It's a circle.
It's a circle.
And you couldn't even get to half of it.
Half of it's not available until post-game.
And then, yeah, so it's just a line, and then you, and then in the remake, you go halfway, and then fly to the other half of the circle.
What? Yeah, it's terrible.
I agree.
It is the most linear region by far.
What is / was Black City and White City?
Right.
Post-game only, where one gets returning Pokemon and the other gets items?
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It was not well executed at all, actually.
The one cool thing was I like what they did with the desert in specifically Black and White 2, where one is more developed and the other is more not. Is like less developed than it because they've been pulling out of the desert.
I think the games can be good with a bad region. Like I don't think the regions make or break the game, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that was the only thing about the region that I liked was that they were doing was that specific execution. Everything else is very much, why did I walk out into a desert? Kalos kind of had similar things, but at least it was segregated enough in those little individual loops that those each made sense as biome wedges. Like, it was a little Zootopia-esque, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Unova, you walk into a different route, and you're just, like, suddenly in a 30-degree temperature swing. It's like...
It's fine. It's fine. That's how New York works.
I hate it when I walk out of 3rd Street into 4th Street, and it's just a sand oasis.
Yeah, exactly. We've only been talking about main series, except for that time I brought up Holland.
Don't worry, that's gonna change.
I'm going to go ahead and... say that I really don't like Ransai as like I want to nominate things from bottom from Pokemon Conquest. I used to be like I know we talk on this show a lot about how like Pokemon Conquest is awesome because it's just Pokemon plus Fire Emblem, and that is still true. But it is the clunkiest gameplay experience to go back to in the year of our Lord 2024.
Oh no.
Like, I don't enjoy playing it. It's just like it could be good. It just needs a lot of the
hold up.
Quality of life improvements.
Hold up. We need a new trivia. We need a new bingo chart because Thatch just said he doesn't enjoy playing Pokemon Conquest. Everyone at home, change your box for Thatch Talks About.
You gotta change Pokemon Conquest box. You gotta change that one.
Yeah, you gotta change your wording on it because we just got it here. You heard it here, folks.
Here's the news. I think I've said this before, not too long ago, that I just think it's not that great of a gameplay experience.
Yeah.
I think the idea is very fun of like Pokemon Fire Emblem, but oh my gosh, is it not the clunkiest gameplay?
All right. So I understand that's bad, but why is this mountain range shake like Arceus bad?
Because it's not. One, they try to make it a reveal that it's shaped like Arceus, and it's like the most, it's the most like really, you know, like really reveal, you know what I mean?
I had no idea.
I don't think it's exciting. They don't really talk about anything that makes it a region itself. I think it's not a great region.
Sure.
I don't know what else we're going to put in the bottom. I'm going to be honest with you too. So.
Well. I know what Seth is about to say.
Okay, okay.
And be crucified for.
What am I going to say? I'm not going to say Hoenn. I'm not dumb enough to put that anywhere in here. What are you talking
about? Hoenn's fine.
No, it's not Hoenn.
Hoenn's fine.
I don't know what you...
No. Hoenn is fine until the last quarter of the game, in which case it's just unnavigable.
What?
Okay, I want to nominate a weird one that is not... that I think is... In one form, it's not okay, but in the other form, it's fine. And I think that's Hisui. I think Hisui is fine. I'm not sure about Sinnoh, but I think Hisui is fine.
Hisui's fun.
Yeah.
It's not Sinnoh.
No, it's not. It's...
Where I have to traverse a cave to get to the top of a mountain. I could just go to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Part of what makes, I think, Hisui work so much is they just, like, expanded the biomes.
Yes, exactly.
Like, there's not just there's like the one marsh route and then the great marsh, but when they do the Crimson Mirelands, first off, the color palette is a lot more dynamic, but also it like bleeds into the other places around it much better.
Very well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Hisui is pretty. I think it's pretty and I liked it.
I think that's just kind of also it being Sinnoh.
It sparks joy.
Sinnoh, but like open worldable. I feel like that's part of it.
I definitely think the open world, it helps, like, I don't know, it definitely helps immersion, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, free camera just helps immersion, but I think I really enjoy it.
A lot of it is helped by the fact that it's undeveloped, too. So you're just roaming these huge landscapes, and they're ruins enough that you know, they're breaking up just the plant life, but...
There's enough going on to make it interesting...
It doesn't feel like you're walking into someone's, you know, backyard to steal their Bunnelby.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just have trouble overlaying Sinnoh on top of Hisui.
Oh, it's not too bad, but I like to imagine it's more like artistic expression, right? So I don't worry about it too much.
But like even in gameplay, it's a little bit more weird to try to be like, wait, where am I in comparison?
Well, yeah, because things get warped and exaggerated out. Because like
exactly,
I also
basically all of the area where Sunny Shore is just now like a quarter of the landmass.
I also like to imagine, because this is a Pokemon Legends game, if that makes sense, that like some things just aren't meant to line up because it's a legend that's being told, not a one-to-one.
Exactly. Or like different time for a different dimension or whatever.
I think it's also more true to scale of what like those areas were meant to be in like the creator's heads originally, or at least how they actually view Pokemon regions and towns than what the illustration that we get in the game.
I like Hisui.
I think Hisui's fine. Yeah. I think I'm not hearing any fights against it, so I'm going to put it up there. Hisui specifically, I think. That it has regional variants. I like that all three regions we have at the top are just regions with regional variants.
It's because it's like if you develop a really interesting world and then look at your Pokemon to put in it, you get good ideas or something.
Yeah, right?
Okay, I've got an off-the-wall one.
I mean, I genuinely think that regional variants are the outgrowth of good region development, because you can't... Give me a Kanto regional form.
Yeah.
What did Kanto cause a Pokemon to change?
Galar's its original form.
All right. Well, Seth, give us your regions. Give us what you got.
I've got an off-the-wall one that I want to hear batted down.
Okay.
The Pokemon Mystery Dungeon world.
That is a weird one.
In top or bottom?
In top. Because it's a little bit of absolutely everything, and you get all sorts of weird, different, funky biome things.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Which Pokemon Mystery Dungeon? The first one?
The one I'm looking at. What am I looking at?
I guess they're all continuous, technically, but...
Not always.
Oh, it marks it as in Super.
I think that's the only one we got a map for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, then.
Well, the other ones had their like, regional maps that had, like, the Steam Mountains and whatever.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, you're going in a dungeon each time, so there's that element to it, but they're notably different every time you go into them, and each one has their theme.
I don't have an issue with that. I might do the one for the Explorers games.
That's fair.
Because that one had, like, I'll try to find the map, because it's not on the Bulbapedia page. I know we're all looking at.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple different areas, and you can see how the different dungeons bleed into each other.
They are claiming this is the same world. They're actually claiming that this is all the same world on the Bulbapedia page.
Sure, they can be wrong.
They can be wrong.
Have you read the Puckle article on Bulbapedia?
I'm sorry, but until I can go from the steam in the steam lake, until that shows up in another one, I'm not. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the Orange Archipelago.
Oh wait, what? No, they are all what?
Yeah.
That map is just bad. They are all like legitimately on different continents. In that, okay. Never mind.
Fascinating.
We learned something today.
So it's the entire world of it, which is kind of cool, I think.
I appreciate that they've put it all in the same world.
You know what? Then yeah, I'll take it. It's got all the stuff I was going to praise in that on apparently the grass continent.
I can't say anything because like I haven't played much outside of Super Mystery Dungeon or Mystery Dungeon DX. I haven't played much outside
Mine
of that.
Mine was Sky. I played the crap out of Sky.
I was kind of hoping they would do to Sky what they did to the first two and give us like a DX, like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky DX or whatever, or Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers DX or something like that. I was kind of waiting for that.
It's coming to the Switch too. It's fine.
I mean, I would love for that to come out because everybody says it's a very good game, and I believe them. Because when I played DX, I'm like, the story's very cute and very good, and the gameplay's not terrible, but I really don't, like, I own Explorers of Sky, and I've tried to play it several times, but it's one of those things, again, where it doesn't, like, age great.
That's fair, yeah.
I would love to see Explorers of Sky updated with more Pokemon and then just re-released. I would buy that so fast.
Modders, get to it!
Did you know there's, like, this entire community that has done sprites for all of the Pokemon up through Gen 9 for the Mystery Dungeon games? And I don't just mean like the face sprites. Like they have combat, attack, and dodge and movement ones for pretty much every Pokemon.
They're great for like minis.
Yeah, I guess we could do it if you guys feel so strongly about it. I can't tell you no. I'm gonna be honest.
I can't tell you no.
Yeah, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon World for top. All right, Seth, blaspheme.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon World. What a great region name.
How funky. There's a one for the DX game for the Switch that looks like it might be different.
Don't fight it. They said they're all canon. I'm just going to accept it.
I'm not fighting it. Continue and tell me what your bottom is, Seth.
Tumble Cube Island from Pokemon Quest.
That's bad.
I know. Like, it's not a real one, but like,
it's bad.
I'm not counting a lot of the kind of, unless they have a good reason, I'm not even including the spinoff games.
I'm just waiting for you to say Johto so we can all dunk on you. So.
Johto's fine.
I'm fearing for my life.
He's going to be kicked off this show, okay? Seth will be outside looking for work for his podcast career, I guess.
We'll talk for clout.
We'll talk for food.
We'll talk for clout. I need that on a t-shirt to wear at conventions.
We should get that. That sounds like a great t-shirt.
That's a good one.
Let's make it. We'll talk for clout. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to put that one down because I don't think it's a real region.
No, it's not a real region. There's Tropical Island from the Pokemon trading card game.
Yeah, I did see. Well, okay, to be fair, like, I think they were like trying, because that was like around the same time that like Orange Islands was happening.
Actually, Tropical Island is very important to the lore of Pokemon.
I think they were just like trying to, it was like after Pokemon became so successful, they're like, oh no, what do?
It was during the 90s where we got incredibly insane things like the Pokemon musical.
Oh, yeah.
Where Giovanni builds Mecha Mewtwo, who, upon learning emotions of friendship and love from Pikachu, uses explosion to kill itself to prevent it from hurting other people.
Yay.
No, the 90s of Pokemon is just like a wild time. Early Pokemon, they're just like shooting Pokemon at everything. That was before they had brand guidelines, so they were just doing everything.
And before the internet did all their advertising for them.
Yeah, I miss Pokemon. I miss Pokemon Pop-Tarts. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
Pokemon Pop-Tarts.
What do y'all think? I haven't played much of this game. What do y'all think of Almia from Pokemon Ranger?
I did play that game.
If we're gonna dunk on a Pokemon Ranger region, let's dunk on Oblivia.
Okay. Yeah. Like, what do y'all think of the Ranger regions? Because I know those are really popular. I never really got into them.
Your 3DS's touchscreen thanks you.
I only played the first one because that was the only way to get Manaphy at the time.
Fiora is just nothing. Like, it's not bad. It's just there's not a lot going on with it. Okay. So let me give you a quick primer on the Pokemon Ranger games. All right. Pokemon Ranger came out and it was fine. It had some really good ideas, but a lot of it was like really obnoxious. So they fixed all of the gameplay and made the best game in this franchise in Pokemon Ranger Shadows of Almia. It was surprisingly long, all of the environments were cool, there were a lot of dynamic boss battles, and most importantly, they fixed the catching mechanics so you didn't have to do everything in one go, which let them do much more interesting boss battles, as well as just it was way less annoying. Then they did Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs. And they did what every eventual Pokemon game does. Break everything up into a bunch of islands and then insist that this is as good as contiguous regions. Everything is full of ruins except for like the three towns. Everything is so far apart that going to other maps is extremely annoying. Also, there's a billion side quests that give you the different partner Pokemon, but all of them are annoying to do. It's just not fun.
Oblivia gets the thing. That's what I'm hearing. We're just going to put Oblivia there.
As a bottom?
As a bottom, yeah, right? Where else were we going to put it?
Yeah. No, Olivia, before people come at me, I'm misremembering. Oblivia didn't have alternate partners. What it had is worse. It was the Pichu with a ukulele that just kept getting upgraded.
Oh, wow.
Because the first one, like, you had your one, you had plus or minus, and that was fine. And then they let you pick which one you wanted in out of, like, 18, out of 17, because it won for each type.
Yeah.
And then they did just Ukulele Pichu, and the upgrades on that were just making the cutscene take longer. I hate it.
Apparently, from what I'm reading, Almia might be the tail end of Sinnoh. That's interesting.
So, yeah, that's my bottom.
Well, do we have a top from somewhere?
Do we have a top? Do we have a final top region?
I think it's Linian, right? It's Linian's turn, right?
Sure. I don't know. Hoenn's great right up until it trips at the finish.
Yeah, Hoenn's like fine. I think it's very, especially with the introduction of the Game Boy Advance, it's very colorful until you get to the point where your entire screen is just ocean.
Yeah, and it stays that way for a solid 6 hours.
But I mean, that is kind of what the ocean is.
It's just ocean, yeah.
Sure, but you know what? The ocean is like, just because it's realistic doesn't mean it's good. It's not particularly realistic to go wandering around a mountain for 5 minutes, find Bigfoot, beat him up, stuff him in a small orb, and make him your best friend, but that's the kind of plot. I will actually, so we're looking at top region, yeah?
Yeah, top region, yeah.
What about Ultra Space?
You know what? Lentil was really cool.
Lentil, I think, Lentil from new Pokemon Snap is actually not bad.
I won't argue with it because, I mean, it's a very pretty region. You literally drive through it. It's pretty cool. It's made and meant to sightsee, yeah.
I'm actually really, like, new Pokemon Snap was such a good game.
And they really paid attention to how the biomes are going to, like, interact with each other.
Yeah.
They just made it so good. All the alternate paths, all like the ways to make the Pokemon do things, night and day, which sounds like such a boring mechanic, is actually really hype.
The differences are night and day.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
They built out each level very carefully and then considered things like, what would change over night and day? How do we make these things pop at different times? So that's not, because you'd unlock night and you'd think that that would just be the cooler version of the level. But no, there's a lot that's just asleep.
I haven't played too much of it. I've got it. But yeah, I'm with you. Even with the little bit that I've played, I fully agree with this, actually. Lentils, baby.
Get your lentils.
I love me some lentils.
I like how we're looking at this and we have exactly 3 normal, reasonable choices on each list.
And the rest is just insane. So for those of you at home who weren't paying attention but need to see the final tally.
Our recap.
Our top 5 is Alola, Paldea, Hisui, the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon World, and Lentil, the region from New Pokemon Snap.
In no particular order.
And then in our bottom 5, we have Kanto, Galar, Unova, Rancei, from Pokemon Conquest, and Oblivia from Pokemon Rangers. Shadows of Almia. What's the one with Oblivia in it?
That was Guardian Signs.
Guardian Signs, that's right. That one was bad, actually. That was... Shadows of Almia was fine. Like, it was better than the original.
Shadows of Almia is the best Pokemon Ranger game. Not close.
All right, well, on that note, guys, if you have a top 5 and bottom 5 region, send in your emails to pokopodcast@gmail.com. But until then, we are going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 1024, Terapagos, the Terra Pokemon.
It's Pokemon, what is this, Scarlet Stellar Form, Dex entry reads. In this form, Terapagos resembles the world as the ancient saw it, and its terrestrial energy is abnormally amplified.
Wow.
And I do want to correct you, Thatch, based on some information in the trivia section. It's categorized as the Terra Pokemon in the game, but on the official Pokemon Scarlet and Violet website,
really?
It's categorized as the Terastal Pokemon.
Well, in the game, it's the Terra Pokemon. That's all that matters.
Oopsie doopsie.
Who messed up? Who did? Who got fired? Who got fired? That's all I want to know.
No one, because we're the second people to find that out.
Yeah.
First person's the first person who edited this Bulbapedia page.
So Terapagos is the legendary Pokemon from Indigo Disc. It's going to be allowed in Regulation G, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to see play, but we might as well talk about it before and pretend it will.
We'll give it its chance in the sun.
It's the first and only normal type legendary Pokemon, which is cool, I guess.
I guess the others are mythical.
Yeah, the others are mythical. I mean, it's fine. I don't know. Like, the stats are good, right? When you're in the when you're terrestrial form, which is the normal form of Terapagos, like it turns into that immediately anyway, is base 600 mon, you know, 95 HP, 95 attack, 110 defense, 105 special attack, 110 special defense, 85 speed. This is fine. The stellar form is pretty good because we get amped up to 700 and we get a way more HP. Like most of that 100 goes to HP. And I think a little bit of it goes to special attack, and that's about it. You go up to 160 HP, you go up to 105 attack, and you go to 130 special attack. And you're stellar type when you're stellar form, which means you don't have weaknesses except for stellar type.
No.
What is it?
No. Defensively, it's nothing.
Oh, defensively, never mind. That's right. Oh my gosh, it's been so long because it's been so irrelevant,
right?
That I haven't paid attention to it
because it doesn't do that. If it blanked your weaknesses,
it would be good. It would be good, actually, wouldn't it? They should have just done that. They should have just made it the burn up type. Why'd they mess up? What happened, guys?
Because that would have broken a lot.
Yeah, anything that would, like, maybe if they made it exclusive to Terrapagos, that would be
they
cool.
They should have done it to Terrapagos, I think.
It already has so many other weird quirks.
Hey, here's a bizarre piece of trivia I'm just learning for the first time.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I'm learning for the first time. What's yours?
Did you know it gives different EVs between its different forms?
Really?
Normal form, which you can't battle.
Yeah, it's in the code, so it's not breaking.
I still don't.
And funny enough, the Terastal form gives more points of EV allocation than the Stellar form.
Can I also
goes 2 and 2 to 3?
Can I take a moment
in
to also
stats.
Can I take a moment to also just kind of complain about how it was introduced, and I still don't really understand its connection to Terastalization. I'm gonna be completely honest.
Me either.
Like
it's also the loneliest Pokemon.
Why? What?
What I'm reading about it, like I'm learning so much about Terrapagos just in this segment, but apparently this is the last one. Apparently it was a fairly populous species 2 million years ago in Paldea.
That I did know, but why is it the last one? What are they saying?
Because this is the only one that managed to survive by crystallizing its body and going into hibernation.
Survive what? What did it survive?
Earthquakes, seismic shifts, earthquakes.
That's it?
That's it. Killed off all the others, but this one that you catch is the only one.
Underground, I would imagine earthquakes are kind of the worst possible thing.
That's true.
But the rest of them couldn't like become diamonds like he did or whatever?
Apparently, they didn't think of it. Apparently, this is the only smart one.
Oh my god. This is terrible.
It says a lot about it. It can also alter time? What?
What is happening? Wait, explain.
What is this from?
This is from the
What is this? It's like the anime. Terrapagos has the ability to alter timelines in some capacity, as seen both in the games and in the anime, and is able to bring humans and objects from points in Pokemon World's timeline from other timelines altogether to the point in time and space it currently is. That explains
That's the anime.
Why this thing has paradoxes. That explains it. When using its timeline altering powers, a mist appears around the affected area. Once it disappears, whatever was brought is sent back.
Interesting.
This explains freaking paradoxes.
It also explains the anime. It explains the anime, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it can warp time with mist.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I think the mist is part of the time warping. Not the mist is warping the time.
It creates the mist, and then once the mist dissipates, things are either here or not. That's what it's saying happens.
Terrapagos, what's wrong with you? I'm so confused by
you. Why could you do this?
Why do we know this now and not after I played the game?
Yeah. Why do I know this by reading the Bulbapedia?
Right? Like I feel like I should have known this from the game.
You know what that exact emotion makes me feel? That's how I feel every time I look at the Stormlight Archive.
Yes.
Copper Mind. Thing,
yes. Yes.
Like, yeah, this is clearly this dude. I'm like, how? I read that book.
Right? No, you're absolutely correct, actually, though. Anytime I read anything about a character, I'm just like, no, I definitely read that part, and I did not see that.
Yeah. I didn't make that line, but okay.
You're making this up.
Sometimes I think.
That explains also.
Copper Mind is better. There's
in Mist.
If you go to the. Instead of the Copper Mind archive, you go to the Stormlight wiki, those guys make stuff up. Those guys just make stuff up.
Yeah, no, those guys are liars because the Copper Mind guys, those are on their stuff.
Yeah. Like, I definitely will.
This is why we are so far off the beaten path, but you know what? I'm going to make this point. Every time. There's the new book that's coming out, and it's it's going to have all this Cosmere stuff, and I was quietly terrified because that meant I might not know what's happening.
Right? I haven't read Mistborn.
You haven't read Mist? Yeah. Okay. This is-
no.
I haven't either.
I haven't read Mistborn. It's on my list. It's on my list. It's there. I'll get to it.
It's, you know what? I'm gonna do a heresy. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I heard it's fine. I'm kind of scared because I'm like, I'm reading Stormlight and I'm like, I'm going to read Storm. This has nothing to do with Pokemon. I'm going to read Stormlight.
No.
And
Terapagos is the closest Pokemon to the Stormlight archive, though.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, though.
Energy stored in gems.
Crabs
like, hello.
Exist.
Crabs exist.
Crabs. Krabby, the Stormlight archive Pokemon.
Krabby, the Chasm Fiend Pokemon.
What crab Pokemon can change forms?
Can we get? We gotta get an affiliate link to some bookseller now, right? Like we've talked about this long enough.
Krabby acquired the ability levitate.
We're gonna put an Amazon affiliate link down below. You can get your copy of Stormlight. Yeah. But yeah, no, Terapagos. Yeah, I'm actually really upset that I knew none of this from playing the game.
Yeah, now I know how paradoxes work.
Wow.
My thirst is sated.
Wow, this explains everything. Why did nobody explain this to us whatsoever?
This one paragraph.
I just hope it's not lies.
I still don't understand what it has to do with terrestrialization. I still don't know what it has to do with terrestrialization. I don't understand. Did it get anything... funsies for because the TCG isn't far enough ahead to be able to do that.
Yeah, we haven't even seen it. We know its card is coming, but we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, we know it's coming, but we're not. Yeah, we have like Ogre Pond, but we have nothing else.
Oh, Terapagos is. I'm looking through the trivia.
Oh,
thing.
Tell me more.
Terapagos is the only one to have a yield total of more than 3 for EVs. That's what we were talking about earlier. Oh, here we go. This is why it's the loneliest Terapagos. While Terapagos as a species in the game code has a 50-50 gender ratio, the only Terapagos encounter is always male.
Oh, poor guy.
It literally is the one that lived.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, I mean, it's based off the Galapagos tortoise. Also, I feel the need to say this because it's really cool. The reason it is turtles on turtles on turtles on turtles, like that is clearly what it's designed.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is an archaic depiction of the universe. It's turtles upon turtles. It's where the book and concept Turtles All the Way Down comes from.
Yep.
So it is the turtle that the world is stacked upon, which is why it lives deep underground.
Also, I was looking at its move pool to be like, oh man, how useful will this be in VGC? And what happened to its move pool? Because it's not great.
Is it a normal type move?
So its move pool is like its learn set is very bad. First of all, it's because it does like that typical, like you learn something every 10 levels and that's it.
Yeah. Normal and rock moves.
But it's
moves,
like, it's just like normal rock moves and, well, it gets also a couple steel moves and like earth power.
Yeah.
But it
kind of
weighs.
It kind of doesn't need it.
It's weird.
If I'm being honest.
No, yeah, because you look at it, here's the thing. It does have ridiculous moves. It's just via TM.
Yeah, well, and even the TMs aren't like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say it's ridiculous, but they're fine. I don't know.
It's also
Flash
just doesn't.
Cannon, Power Gem, like, Aura Sphere, Dragon Pulse, Energy Ball, Surf.
It gets mostly beam moves. It gets mostly beam moves, which is beam. Cute.
Yeah.
But.
And it also has, like, Terra Blast and Terra Star Storm. And when used by Terapagos in Stellar form specifically, Terra Star Storm becomes the Stellar type move and targets both opponents. So there's something here.
Oh, yeah,
attacking stats equal?
Its
no.
Attack stats are not equal.
Like, I just don't think it's going to be good in the upcoming Regulation G.
I don't think it's going to be worth a slot, but I think it'll be good when it's used. But compared to the opportunity cost of using something like Miraidon.
Yeah, Miraidon instead. It, like in VGC, I think you should just play Miraidon or Groudon instead. Yeah. Like, I think those two are better.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to use Paradox Pokemon, you should use Kyogre. Like, there's your answer. Like,
if you don't want to use Paradox Pokemon, sorry.
Yeah, kind of. Honestly, yeah.
If you want to use Paradox Pokemon, grow up.
Go
Wait,
play.
Can't use Terra Blast?
Don't play competitive. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it can't learn Terra Blast. Oh. Wow.
Is it the only Pokemon that can't learn Terra Blast?
Pretty much.
Interesting.
It's Terra Star Storm instead.
Interesting.
Base 120 power. Becomes Stellar type. Doesn't it do something weird where it's like... It has the stat boost at all times when it's using Terra as well. As opposed to just like the first hit of each type of move.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's weird. There's so many weird interactions with the terrestrialization thing. It breaks like all the rules, and it's kind of in a non-negative way for Terrapagos specifically. Where every time it uses Terra Star Storm, it gets the base power boost instead of just meh.
Yeah.
It's real weird.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to end it there. And we're going to end the show, not on the mailbag today, but on something completely different. so we're going to go ahead and, kick it on over to whatever comes after this.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the last segment of the show. The last segment of the show today isn't the mailbag because none of the emails were up to snuff this week. So what we've got instead is one to tell you that you can email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com to have a chance of your email being read on the show, letting us know what your top and bottom regions are. Let us know what your favorite Pokemon regions were and your least favorite Pokemon regions and why. You could also go ahead and, yeah, do that for a chance at the Green Taurus badge. But today, since we have none of them, and Thatch actually has to leave early today, we are going to go ahead and play Pokemon 20 questions, something we do when we are in this exact same scenario every single time. I have a Pokemon.
Woo.
And Seth and Linian have 20 questions to try to figure out what that Pokemon is. They can only be yes or no questions. And then they hopefully can figure it out within 20. I think there were other rules to make sure that the last time we did this, because it's been so long, to make sure you guys don't min-max.
Min-max.
I don't think you're allowed to ask about, like, dex numbers. I think that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you can't ask about dex numbers. So with that said, you guys can go ahead and begin with your first question whenever you're ready. I would say I should alternate, I guess, in fairness, but you two were going to work together anyway, so I don't really care.
We're person, according to several listeners.
So. I've heard specifically, though, like our voices don't sound the same, but our meter and tempo on how we deliver is so similar that people get confused.
I could see that, yeah.
Our inflection is the same.
Your inflection, yeah.
That's what throws people off the most.
And I mean, it's so hard because we have such very different interests. Like, I like TCGs in general and the Stormlight Archive, and Seth likes,
no.
Well, to be fair, Tess likes TCGs with properties that he's very interested in. I don't think he just likes TCGs.
Lorcana!
And you won't hear me say Lorcana like that. You'll hear me just complain about Commander.
The Mad Hatter card is very good in Lorcana.
All right. Do you want to just, like, cut the regions down a little bit?
I like this question first to kind of at least give us a baseline.
Yeah.
Is this Pokemon dual-typed?
It is. Yes.
Okay.
All right. So then...
Has this Pokemon evolved?
Yes.
Okay.
Can this Pokemon evolve?
Yes.
All right. We're looking at middle-stage dual-types.
Great. And that's three. I've got those written down.
Does this Pokemon share one of its types with special attacking type pre-Gen 4 or fairy?
Yes.
Okay. So it's got at least one special type.
Okay. So those are the Eevees plus dragon.
The Eevees plus dragon plus fairy. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Got him.
Got
him.
That's four questions, by the way. That's four questions.
So it's at least like part one of those. Yeah. So we can't ask about dex number.
No, and I think that is supposed to include regions.
I think it's supposed to include like generations or something like that. I don't remember. So we can't be like, did it occur in this generation? No, then this one though.
I feel like you could ask like, can you catch it in this region or something like that? I think is reasonable.
That was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, but that would only tell us retrospectively. Not
yes.
Is this Pokemon's other type or like, no, wait, hang on. We know at least one of the types is special.
Yeah, we don't know if both are, which might be where I'd go.
Yeah. Are both of the types that this Pokemon has one of the special types or fairy?
Yes.
Okay. So we've got a middle stage Pokemon composed of entirely special types.
Yeah, so that rules out things like, just for instance, Gloom, because poison is a physical type. Okay.
Do you want to start narrowing down just a type?
Yeah, probably.
This is five questions in.
Does this Pokemon share one of its types with the standard starters?
The standard starter Treato? Yes, it does.
Okay. So we're looking at fire, water, and grass are the...
Yes.
Only... It definitely is on those lists.
The first one that jumps to mind is Lombre. Or, I guess, Nuzleaf.
So let's start thinking. So Ivysaur, no. I don't think anything in Gen 1, because the rest are, like, poisons.
Yeah. Water and ice? There's no middle stage. It's got to be at least a 3-stage.
Yeah, it has to be a 3-stage. Because, like, Lantern came to mind, but that's just too old.
Yeah, that's just 1 and 2. We could ask... I don't know if this will be a burner question, but it might be worth doing. Does this Pokemon have any alternate forms, which includes regionals and or megas and or Gigantamax forms?
Well, I mean, it's a middle stage, so it doesn't include those other two, but...
Does anywhere in this line have that?
Say that again. That was a very long question.
Does a Pokemon in this line have alternate forms such as regional form, mega, Gigantamax? That's it. Okay.
That's 6 questions.
So we've got, like, Meryl?
So, for example, if this was Ivysaur, this would rule out... That answer would have been yes, because Venusaur has...
Yeah. But the poison would do that, but yeah.
Yeah, just as an example, though.
So we've got Meryl?
Oh, yeah, because that's dual type now, yeah.
We've got Meryl, we've got Lombre.
Nuzleaf.
We've got Celio, I think. That's it for water?
I mean... We could ask if we can catch it in Hoenn. That would confirm that it, or disprove those first three.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the water types. I haven't even started thinking of fire.
Fire.
There are not many three-stage fires, actually.
Yeah.
Lampent, no, Ghost was special. Physical, rather.
Yeah, Ghost is physical.
Let's just do this. Can you catch it in Hoenn?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at... And let me rephrase my question very specifically. I don't think this matters too much because I think that's what you're doing. Not in Oras. We're talking in Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald.
Yes. 7 questions are done.
Again, I didn't think that changed anything.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are you sure? I have 8 counted.
Oh, maybe I'm off. You know what? I'll take a question from you. You have 8. You've asked 8.
Thanks, Seth.
Wow, Seth.
Didn't we have homework?
So we've got those three. Nuzleaf?
Yeah, Dark was special.
I think that's the only grass that's left.
And Hoenn specifically,
doesn't have a lot of early Pokemon, actually.
Doesn't have a lot of, yeah.
I honestly can't think of any fires, because the only middle stage fires I can think of are Quilava, pure, and Combusken, which is fighting, and Charmeleon.
I'm just looking at fire and then looking at the rest of the list. Like, I look at the other special types, I can't think of a fire grass other than, you know.
Well, we don't know if all of their types are composed that way.
We do. I asked, one of the questions that we asked is...
No, we know they're special, we just don't know if they're all starter Pokemon types. So we've got Meryl, Ludico, Lombre, Nuzleaf, and Celio.
Water is 3 of those. Grass is 2 of those.
Do you want to just... Well, we've got 5 Pokemon, so we can't... Well, we've got 4 Pokemon, so let's see if we can split it 2 and 2.
How about, does this Pokemon have... Is it my question or yours?
Yours.
Yeah, you said Hoenn. We could ask if it has an immunity based on typing.
We could also ask if it was caught in Hoenn, if it's a version exclusive.
That too. That would only get Lombre or Nuzleaf, though.
Yes, and there are 4, which means if it's not those two, it's the other two. But guess what you're going to ask?
Yeah, I think I'll do this one. Does this Pokemon have an immunity based on typing?
No.
No immunity based on typing.
So it's not Meryl, and it's not Nuzleaf.
Okay.
Leaving us with Lombre and Celio?
Yep.
And if we guess incorrectly, like, it's game over, right?
Yeah. If you guess incorrectly.
So...
I mean, if it's just these two, does this Pokemon have a leaf on its head?
Yes.
All right, Seth, golf shot.
Has a leaf on its head.
Did you write that down?
Is this Pokemon grass dark type?
No.
Seth, you asked the immunity question.
Oh, yeah.
We already knew the answer. You should have known the answer.
You knew that.
You're welcome. Go ahead. I got him confused.
You know what? You know what? It could be anything. I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna ask another question.
I was even picturing Lombre. Yeah, it's grass dark type.
You know what? I'm not sure if I've got this Pokemon. Thatch, does it evolve with a water stone?
It does. It does. Yeah.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Seth, here you go.
Evolves with.
You don't need to write it down.
Oh my god, he's writing it down.
Okay, I'm gonna go for. Is there any other thing it can be?
Oh my god.
Is this Pokemon grass water type?
Yes.
Thank god.
Can this Pokemon learn Astonish by level up?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Oh, you're gonna make me do it, aren't you?
I can go all day.
Lotad, Lombre, Ludicolo. Yeah, is this Pokemon Lombre?
It is Lombre.
Thank god.
Thank god.
Can you imagine we get all this way, it's not Lombre, and we have to sit there and
I know,
figure
right?
out
That's why I was like, what
water grass type in Hoenn has a leaf on its head that isn't Lombre?
Yeah, exactly. God.
I've had to make sure, like, for sure.
Oh my god. What a series of events there. All right. Well, you guys did it. You guys got it. Well, within the 20 questions, thank god. You were getting close there at the end, asking a lot of questions.
To be fair, Nuzleaf also has a leaf on its head.
To be fair, we'd already eliminated it!
So yeah, if you want to keep up with the Puckle podcast, you can do so over at our Discord server at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, also follow us over on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Puckle Podcast. You can follow us at YouTube at YouTube.com/PucklePodcast, Twitch at Twitch.tv/TheFucklePodcast. And if you want to support the show, you can go over to TrollandToad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout for a 5% discount. And you can help support the show. TCG mats are the next merch thing now. Woo. On our Patreon. They actually look pretty slick. I'd look pretty slick this time around.
Hype.
At you can get check those out at Puckle or at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. But yeah, until next time though, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Seth Vilo.
And I've been Lombre.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.